Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Happily Ever After Summit. I am your host, LaToya J.R. Borders, and today we're learning how to co-create your marriage so it's filled with love, intimacy, and adventure. We have a really special gift for you today, Dr. Erica Goodstone. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you.
Yay. I'm so glad you decided to be on the summit. I know you're going to give such great value. So let's jump right in. I'm going to be looking down, you guys, so I want to make sure I ask the questions that you really know want to know the answers to. So the first question is, how do couples stay in love? It's the number one question I get for people who are married or newly married. How do you stay in love?
It's a great question. But one of the things that I have found is some couples were not in love to begin with. Sometimes they choose a partner. I mean, it depends what the reason is that you chose this partner. Mm-hmm. You might be ready to get married because all your friends are getting married. I've seen men who found a good woman. She fits the criteria, but there was no passion right from the beginning. So that's an important thing. But assuming that you had this passion, you found this person that really matched you, and you felt like this was the love of your life. Mm-hmm. Life gets in the way every day. You have chores, and you have somebody may have been a successful business person, but they may have lost the business, and then they don't have the money. So there's all kinds of changes, mm-hmm. and you have to remember, did I love this person? What did I love about this person? And both of you feeling that way, remembering why you chose to be together, and then remembering all the good things that you do have together. You may have children, you may have family that you've both connected with, and friends. And so it's like recognizing all of that. But the most important thing is those conversations. Mm-hmm. To have these regular conversations. Doesn't have to be scheduled. It doesn't have to be so organized. I don't like to live so rigidly. But it's just very important not to let this stuff get brushed under the rug. As a therapist, so often I've had people share their most intimate details with me, but they didn't share it with their partner. So it's very nice that they finally shared it to a stranger, to someone who's not part of their life. But that's what needs to be shared between two people.
I love that. I love that. It's so funny that you say they share their most intimate thoughts and feelings with you, but not with their spouse. I see that a lot with women. We kind of share our most inner thoughts with our closest girlfriends or our mothers or our sisters, but we kind of hold back within our marriages, and that's supposed to be like your closest relationship. So I love that you said that. Thank you so much. My next question is, which strategies have you suggested or employed yourself that have helped successfully create longevity in marriages?
Well, this one I'm a little biased. I have a few products, so figured I'll talk about them. One is my Healing Through Love seminar series. Mm-hmm. It's 4 audios plus 4 Q&As mm-hmm. talking about how to heal through love. Mm-hmm. And the first topic, which is so important, is healing your relationship to yourself. We're so busy in a relationship wanting the other person to do it for us. Mm. Like years ago, women really had the ability and the intelligence to create a career, but it wasn't something women could do, so they wanted the man to do it for them. Mm. So he would be the one that's successful. And then if he wasn't, she'd be upset, rather than loving that human being mm-hmm. because she wasn't satisfied within herself. I'm generalizing, but it did happen a lot. So the first thing is to heal yourself, to know, not only heal yourself, but understand what do I like, what do I want, what are my dreams and goals, all of that, to know yourself mm-hmm. and accept yourself. Then the second one is to heal your relationship with others. It's not enough to know yourself, but you got to know what do they want. Just because you have certain dreams that you want a marriage and a home in a certain way, maybe the person you're involved with wants something different. But you try to convince them that what you want is right instead of hearing them. So that's where you heal, by really finding out, really knowing mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the other person feels, you know, accepted. Oh, that's another thing that I saw. There were many women years ago who didn't tell the truth to their partner about what they like or don't like. They were kind of hiding, trying to impress him. And I guess men do that also, but women do that a lot, try to impress him to win him over. And then once they have him, they keep trying to change him. And they really stop doing some of those things, like he loved football games and she pretended to like it, really doesn't like it, or boating or whatever he was into, skiing, and then she doesn't do it anymore. So he loses out on what he really was happy with. So it's really healing your relationship with the other person is so important. Then this other piece that a lot of people forget about is healing your relationship to your past. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't look at what's gone on in your past, a lot of people ask me in counseling, why do I have to look at that? That's nothing to do with right now.
Yes,
but it has everything to do with it. Your parents imprint upon you all kinds of ways of being, not just your parents, all the people that were around you at those early years.
Mm-hmm.
You learn a lot. So, and the final one, which is something we really don't think about much, is healing your relationship to your own future.
Hmm.
Like, you think, maybe you think limited, that because of this background, you know, I'll be happy if I just have an apartment, rather than I could own a home. I just gave that as an example, but it could be anything. I think I'm limited by the kind of work I can do because of my family, but I could do anything. I could go to school, I could get educated, I can get a mentor, a trainer. So healing all of that gives you an opportunity to really create a loving relationship.
I love that. I love how you have it sectioned out. The first part is kind of like that self-love. I really just learned that in the last couple of years, that that self-love in within your relationship and in your marriage is super, super important. And then the expectation, wants, and needs, that I wish someone would have taught me before I got married.
Right, me too.
Because, you know, everybody, you want to come into your relationship and you want to be what they want you to be. You want to be happy. I love what you love. We're going to have this great life together. And like you said, some people don't like football, but you're pretending because you like, you want to be his buddy. I think if you start off kind of like a friend, I'm not pretending if it's just my friend. If I don't like something they don't like, okay, we won't hang out and do that together. I feel like if you start with a more honest and authentic version of yourself instead of kind of pretending, you are like 100% ahead of the
the only issue here is that at the beginning you have hormones flowing, and those hormones can make you feel like, oh, I don't care, I do like this thing that you don't like. So that's why communication and each of you knowing, really finding out what is that person really like, that's just important really early on.
I like that. And I also like what you said about the future. I never really thought about that, but like your limiting beliefs, what if your limited beliefs and theirs don't line up? And maybe like you said, with the real simple example of, I don't want a house, I'll live in an apartment, because maybe that's just what my family has done for generations. And maybe his has bought homes and that's what they do. Maybe that just don't line up, and that can create a little bit of friction. So I think dreaming together would be great.
I like that.
Limiting beliefs, just having those inspirational conversations like, babe, what if we could have this, or what if we could have that? Just opening it up for each other, I think is really great.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so my next question is, what is the number one thing stopping couples from having happy, long-lasting marriages?
I would say two things. One is not understanding what it is to be in a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding that it's different from when you're dating and when it's all exciting. I mean, there are responsibilities. Also, what you do affects the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're single, you can do whatever you want, and then you can call the person and say, hey, hon, are you free? You want to get together? And if they're turned on to you, they might be excited by that. So it doesn't matter that it was a little unreliable, it was a little bit last minute, wasn't planned. it could be kind of exciting, especially if they went out with someone really boring and they come home and you're suddenly there. It could be wonderful. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a long-term relationship, not even marriage, living together or just seeing each other regularly, if you're not considering the other person, you make plans for a trip and you didn't mention it to the other person, so they're left with nothing to do for the weekend when they could have done something, when someone invited them and they didn't say yes because of this. So that's why it's so important to realize and understand what goes on when you're in a long-term relationship. That I don't like the word sacrifice so much, but negotiation.
Oh, we are kindred spirits. I don't like the sacrifice word at all. I like compromise. I don't really even like compromise.
I don't like compromise either. I used to argue about that. Negotiate.
Because then it's a win-win.
Right. If you compromise, you're giving up something, and you're both giving up something.
Yeah.
But find a way for both of you to be getting what you want by negotiating.
I love that. I super love that.
So the other piece that causes such problems in marriages is expectations. Mm. And one of the expectations that I've seen, well, one of the reasons is I'm a sex therapist and a marriage therapist, so people may tend to be concerned with those issues when they come to see me. Mm-hmm. But I've seen that a lot, that there's this expectation about sexuality that may not be fair, or it's just not allowing the other person to have their needs. And another thing that someone on my recent summit, I'm doing a summit, Men and Love series, one of the speakers talked about kink, and that there are people that are into sexual kinky behaviors, mm-hmm. like being tied up or whatever their thing is.
Right.
But if they're not honest with another person right from the beginning, mm-hmm. they can get into a relationship and the other person could be devastated by it. And they could be devastated later because they could try to convince the person to do something that's so against their nature. Mm-hmm. So whatever your issue is, your fear is, the sooner you can share it. Now, I don't mean to share it on the first date. That's not a good thing, because then that's all that somebody knows about you, and that can really turn someone off. But as you get to know each other, mm-hmm. it's real important to share these things before getting married, mm-hmm. and to not have unrealistic expectations. If someone is a real sensitive, warm, caring person, they're not going to be a tough business guy, most probably. So don't expect someone who's sweet and sensitive that makes you feel good to be something that he's not or she's not. So that's the kind of thing to understand, not to have the false expectations and to appreciate what that person is and what they are offering.
I love that. That's still kind of just being your authentic self, but also having those really open and vulnerable conversations. Once you kind of get to that point where you're like, hey, I'm going to move forward with you, there should be some honest conversations, especially about sex. I feel like, just like you, I do marriage coaching with a lot of couples, and sex does come up a lot because they didn't really have those conversations about what they like or what you like. It kind of just fell into it, like literally.
Well, most of us do. I've even suggested to people, a friend of mine has a daughter who was having relationship problems, mm-hmm. and I suggested that she watch this, one of the summits I was doing on sexual reawakening, mm-hmm. and her reaction was, oh, she doesn't have to do that. She can figure it out on her own. So you figure it out, but you figure it out wrong, and you cause problems that maybe you could have prevented. Mm. Because there are all these experts talking, coaches, therapists, different people talking about what's possible and how to fix those problems or prevent them early on.
I love that. I love that. And so my last and final question is, what is the number one conversation married couples should have for that good marriage? Wait before you answer, though, because I really want couples to have like adventure, because I feel like everybody kind of gets stuck in that just routine. Now, there's nothing wrong with the routine. You got to have some type of baseline. But I want people to have those conversations about what they want or what they aspire their life to look like. But I want to know what you think their number one conversation should be.
Yeah, that's funny. And you just clarified something in that moment to have it be fun. We forget that fun part because we think of a conversation. That's why so many men don't want to have the conversation. Uh-oh, what did I do wrong now? And what is she going to criticize? They also feel that way about coming in for counseling, that even coaching, that you know, what is she going to find wrong? Like if a couple comes, the guy feels like he's going to be attacked and criticized because that's what she's been doing. So I like your perspective of dreaming. So the first thing that I would say is so important is money and lifestyle to have a conversation about, you know, how do I want to live? Mm-hmm. And what do I think I can do to earn that money, to have the lifestyle? You may dream that you want a certain lifestyle, but then when you really see what goes into attaining that, maybe you or your partner or both of you always traveling to different places and business, and never have time for each other, stressed out, you know, we see that in lots of movies.
So art is, you know, mimicking a little bit of life.
Right. So that's a huge one. Money. I mean, money and lifestyle. And the other one that's huge is sexual needs, desires. As I mentioned before, the kinks, the quirks. We have different styles. And does it match? Is it something you can really work with? Like one partner doesn't like oral sex at all. Well, if you're really into sex and experimenting and you like all kinds of things, don't assume that that's going to get better. It may never get better. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the best is early on when you're dating. So if there's a problem there, you know, take it seriously.
Right. Address it.
You really have to design your life rather than, like I've done and many people have, you just sort of fall into it. Whoever comes along and whatever's going on, and you don't really think ahead to how would I like it to be. They say to do that in business, to plan it, to do your business plan. So that's why a relationship plan is not a bad idea. Without rigidity, with flexibility. Another very important piece is your emotional style. Mm. Like one of you may be very touchy and affectionate, and the other might not like to touch, or one may yell and scream and they get it out of their system, and the other person comes from a family where you don't do that, you don't express it. So there could be such conflict, and you can go for counseling or coaching or try to change the one who has the temper tantrums. But if they grew up their whole life with that lifestyle, that way of being, it's not likely that they're going to change. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen. That's their nature, or they're so used to being that way. So can you handle that? So I would say to look at the worst features, the most upsetting stuff that you notice, even though you're loving everything, and can you handle that if it never changes? Those are the things to think about, you know.
The worst things, and can you handle that? Right, because in some ways, everybody's always trying to change the other partner. I always say you can change yourself, you can't change your partner, right? You can create a different environment with their partner and say, okay, I understand you're like the person who likes to scream and vent, so go ahead and scream and vent.
You don't have to buy into it.
I don't have to stay
and argue back, but you have to, oh, this is another quality that I just realized as I'm saying it. You have to forgive a lot. They get crazy, you let them be, go away, you know, come back, and there's something about being able to be crazy, scream and yell and even say mean things and have the person not leave you. That's like, you have to do that again.
And that's what everybody really wants. They want to know, it's going to sound crazy. Are you going to accept my crazy? Because everybody has a little bit of crazy and still love me. Pass that through it, and can we do it together?
Beautiful.
Thank you so much for coming on. I know that you have a free gift, so can you let them know about that free gift?
Yes, it's a relationship healing toolbox. I created this a while ago with kind of gimmicky names, but it helps you realize. Choice calculator. I have this in front of me. Do you have a system for choosing the people you accept into your life and a consistent way to eliminate whatever you're not happy with, making choices, choices about what to talk about and what to focus on and what to just let slide. So that's just choice, a truth detector. Do you have a way of knowing when the other person's telling the truth or when they're lying or when you're telling the truth? I mean, you might say, oh, I'm not bothered by this, but your whole body's getting tight. So do you have a way to decipher the truth in your communication specifically with your significant other? And another is an emotional diffuser, like what we just talked about. If somebody has a temper, I had a friend who was a heroin addict, and I spent time at his house, and his mother would just walk out of the room. He would have a crazy temper, and she just walked out of the room. She didn't instigate it further, whereas his girlfriend had gotten into a thing, and he got violent with her, and it was really bad. But his mother just went away, and it didn't escalate. So it's just, do you have a way, I'm not saying to deal with that, but do you have a way to diffuse some of the emotions that happen? A way to soothe the other person, to maybe say something that calms them kind of quickly, or that calms yourself. A response reframer, to have all these descriptions for these. I just do one or two more. And that's, are you able to recognize your own automatic responses and, as Daniel Amen calls them, automatic negative thoughts, AMPs? Do you have a way to calm those thoughts and reframe them into something a little more acceptable? Not to awfulize, make everything the worst thing in the world, but to find a way to see something positive out of it. And then another one is a body language decoder. Do you have a way of paying attention to people's body language and decoding it, even though they're saying one thing? Might be saying, I don't think we should be in this relationship anymore, but their body language is open to you, and you realize he's just saying it. He's just frustrated right now. Or is the person saying, I love you, and showing hatred?
So right.
Those are the kind of things. And there's nine of them all together. It's called the Relationship Healing Toolbox.
No, that sounds not only just massively great, but like super in-depth. Like, you guys definitely want to get this free gift, because I'm going to go get the free gift. That was amazing. I love that. And while you were saying things, I'm like, my husband says things, but I can tell by his body language or his facial expressions that he doesn't really mean what he's saying. It's sometimes the opposite. So if you don't know that about your spouse, you're needing help to do that, make sure you get Dr. Erica Goodstone's free gift. Thank you guys so much for participating, and thank you, Dr.